Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program's about the exploration of our consciousness. Part of that goes back to an understanding of ancient traditions. One of the earliest influences on my development of awareness has been the teachings of Carlos Castaneda, the Toltec tradition, Nahualism. Well, today I have a guest who's from a similar tradition, Sergio Magaña.
Hello, Alan. Thank you for the invitation.
Okay, I didn't mean to totally associate you with Castaneda because you are similar, but people know about Toltecism and Nahualism because of those 10, 11 books that he wrote about it.
The book that I wrote, The Dawn of the Sixth Sun, and an Italian magazine put like the new Castaneda, and they and they use it in the book.
So, the new Castaneda.
But that wasn't my idea, but
I think what you're really here to talk about is the techniques of dreaming, of breathing, and how that's accessible to us as human beings, right?
Of course. Nahual comes from, the word really comes from a Nahuatl. Nahuatl is a language.
Nahuatl is a language, an ancient language.
Yeah, without the T is Nahual, that is known because of Castaneda, and with a T before the L, it's Nahuatl, the language. Yeah.
Nahuatlism.
That's a very old language that was spoken by the Olmecs, then the Teotihuacans, then the Xochicalcas, then the Toltecs. And for the last, for the Mexicas or Aztecs, so it's like
and the Aztecs,
they
all spoke that language.
So it's like 5,000 years of lineage. And Nahual is a word that is in Nahuatl, that comes from Negua. Negua means I, who I am really.
The soul, the spirit.
Sort of, but for us, for example, there are energetic bodies. Tonal, Tonal comes from Tonatiuh, that is the sun. So it's
wait, tonal comes from what?
Tonatiuh is a word, a Nahuatl word that means the sun.
The sun?
Yeah, the sun.
Tonal. So tonal means sun, basically.
Tonal means who you are awake, because in the sun kingdom.
When you're awake in daylight.
In daylight.
Oh, so tonal is when you're awake in the sun.
Yeah.
During the day.
So, for example, now we are doing this interview, you are in your tonal, Alan, and I am in my tonal.
Even though it looks Sergio. Like night out there, right?
Okay, yeah. But, of course, in night, if we are sleeping, we would be in the Nahual. And if we are awake, we would be in the tonal. For us, these are energetic bodies. For example, your tonal is surrounding your head when you are awake, and your Nahual is surrounding your navel.
When you're awake.
Yeah, when you're awake. But in the moment that you fall asleep, the tonal for us pushes the Nahual up, and the Nahual comes here. That's why you enter in complete different reality, and the tonal stays here.
At your waist, at your navel.
Yeah, at your navel, in this area, when you are fall asleep. They exchange. They exchange positions. So to become a Nahual or a lucid dreamer would be that instead of making this change, just like this, you are able to join them and to become one.
That's the Nahual and the tonal integrate as one. How do you do that?
It's a huge training. For example, you must change your perception.
Tell me, how do you do that? Because I'm very interested in changing perception.
For example, in the tonal, if you see, our perception always goes out. I am not seeing myself now.
Because you're seeing out there. You're
I am seeing you.
Out. Yes.
I am seeing you.
Yes.
And I am seeing the camera and all those things.
Yes.
So I cannot see myself.
Right.
So that's a huge problem, a huge task for the perception of the Nahual. Because when you fall asleep, the tonal falls asleep, then the Nahual begins watching the dream. And then that's why you almost never appear in your dreams. Because one is sleeping, the other is watching. So to force your Nahual to appear in the dreams and the tonal to see the dream, that would be like lucid dreaming, we start the training not dreaming. We start that in the mirror.
You start the practice of looking in the obsidian mirror.
Forcing yourself an obsidian mirror or in a common mirror, because this is not the training of the obsidian mirror.
So this is to train to
see yourself
in your dream.
Yeah, but first you must train your perception to see yourself. That's why you are in front of a mirror with masks that we call shayaka. Shayaka in Nahuatl is masks. So you are It's a very deep training because you are telling your history with a mask in front of the mirror for hours and hours, a lot of days.
Are you recapitulating your history?
Something, it's a kind of, it's named Quetzalcin in Nahuatl, that means the great birth. So you are like telling your history, but it has like a great purpose because your ego falls down. Because if you see your history with other face, that is like a mask, you don't have like any identification between your face and between the one that lived that. And that's when you are able to dream yourself in different shapes and forms. If you always dream yourself like you, you will keep repeating the same history.
So let me see if I get what you're saying. So part of the practice of this lucid type Nahual dreaming,
It starts awake in the mirror.
It starts awake. You look at yourself in a mirror with a mask on, and you tell your story as if this new face was your face, and then you start to identify your form.
With different forms.
You start to identify with different forms. So when you show up in the dream,
you can change
your form. And why is that important?
Because there are archetypes. For example, if you appear in the dream like a serpent, if you need a healing, and a lot of people that were sick in the moment that they appear like a serpent, they get healed. For example, if you need money, you have, for the tradition, the Nahual of the crocodile, that is Cipactli in Nahuatl, is the one that gives money.
So if you appear as a crocodile,
with red eyes. Yeah, that comes because, for example, we do the obsidian mirror training first also. So in an obsidian mirror, you must be able to, through breathings, alter your state of consciousness to be able to disappear your face, that because we are really nothing, and then change the reflection, and it changes to a red eyes and then the shape that you want. And that's the base of the Chacmoles, that is, are Mayans, or the Tezcatzoncatl, that are the ones that are like in the top of the pyramid, like this, in their abs, and they are turning this way and this way. You were breathing, destroying the something, path. and then the dreams that created that, and then you turn into the mirror, into the water, and change your reflection, and that would be the way to go to the dreaming state. That was the most advanced technique of the ancient Mexico.
Oh wait, so they would use obsidian mirrors, which is a black stone,
polished
black stone, and the Chacmoles, I mean the statues of the Chacmoles would have this.
It's like a yoga posture, because then it was so defamated because the Spanish said that there were the hearts of the sacrifice, but it's not true. It is a complete posture for entering in the dreams. So for us that know how to do it.
So you take on the position of the Chacmol?
Yeah, before dream.
With the mirror on your lap?
Or the Mayans did it with the water. But for us in the Nahuatl tradition, we did it with the mirror.
With the obsidian mirror.
Yeah, but it's the same. It's the because in the water you reflect.
I see. So.
But it's more difficult. I honor the Mayans. Because
so you've done this.
Yeah, of course. I have been practicing this for years and years, but it's more difficult in water.
And you teach this, the path of the obsidian mirror.
Yeah, and the Chacmol and dreaming. Yeah. That's what I have dedicated my life to teach.
You have?
Yeah.
What's the purpose of it all?
For us, the dream creates this reality.
The dream
The Nahual creates the tonal. So this would be the dream of the dream. So
when you dream your dream, so if this is all a dream, and then you
this
go
is the dream of the dream. So if you want to change this, you must change through dreaming. In the awake, for us, it has everything, because like I told you before, not in the interview, but before, Toltec really means, comes from Toli. Toli is a Nahuatl word that means the tule is it's a tree where it was like a rover that moves, but in a metaphorical sense it means the measure that is moving,
like a pattern
that is in the cosmos,
a pattern in the sky. The cosmos means pattern, actually.
So
tole means
the
measure,
ones,
pattern.
The ones that had the measure.
So the Toltecs were the ones that understood the sacred
numbers.
The sacred numbers.
And for example, for us, the number of the sun, of the awake, the tonal, would be the 13. And it's based in the rotation of the sun, because the sun equator rotates in 26 days. So if you cut it in the, because every 13 days he gives you a new phase, so that's what we call the solar wave.
Wait, the sun rotation is 26 days? What do you mean the sun rotation?
One rotation of the sun, like the one of the Earth.
Oh, the sun itself rotates.
It happens in 26 of our days.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
So the sun gives you a different shape every 13 days.
Why was this rotation, the sun, important to the Toltec?
Because for us, we are solar consciousness, so we respond, and the rotation of the poles is in 20 days, of the sun poles. If you see, the poles are smaller, and then the equator is much spread out. So it lasts 20 days in giving a complete round in the poles, and 26 in the center. So that's why for us, if you cut that in two, that would be like the two faces of the sun. It will give you two sacred of our numbers, 10 and 13.
How do they even know that the sun rotated 26 days? But science has proved that.
Yeah, of course not. But that's the question of the $1 million. Because a lot of people ask me, I don't know. It's a lot of mathematics.
But they could see these energies, really. And the mathematics.
And the oral tradition, of course, talks about cataclysms and
past. Cataclysms.
Yeah, and past humankind. Probably the wisdom comes much before.
Tell me, how old is this tradition?
The oral tradition starts five suns ago, and five suns are periods of 6,625 years. So wow. if we put five, it's like 30-something thousand years.
That's where it starts. This is your tradition, the tradition you come from.
Yeah. And Mexico. Mexico even, it's named the place of the navel of the moon, and it has a...
That's what Mexico means?
It means, yeah. It comes from Nahuatl, Metzli, Xictlico. All the country, almost any Mexican knows, is named after the discipline of the Chacmolor, the Tezcatzoncatl.
Really?
Because for us, the moon is the Black Tezcatlipoca, and the Black Tezcatlipoca is the smoking mirror. So if you put the mirror here, it would be the navel of the moon.
Uh-huh.
And all the countries named because it was a country of dreamers. But almost all that information is lost. So the place of the navel of the moon would be this discipline. Dreaming.
That's beautiful. So the dream, though, from what you're saying, was such a big part of the ancient Mexican culture.
Yeah, all the countries is named after that. But the people don't know it. Mexico is the place of the navel of the moon, a land of dreamers.
The land of dreamers. Incredible. Wow.
Of course.
Because we are dreaming this, right?
This is, for us, the dream of the dream.
This reality is the dream of the dream. And when we're dreaming...
That's the medium. Dreaming would be, for example, for us, the reality comes from the... Centeotl means the one energy, the beginning, like our equivalent for God, and for us is in the 13th heaven. We have, for the tradition, 13 heavens that are like 13 steps for coming from there to here. Uh-huh. And the dreaming is in the 7. Uh-huh. So, we are in the, after the 13, like in the 14th step.
We're right now in this reality, we're at the lowest.
Yeah, we'll be like the 14th step. Uh-huh. So, if you see, it's perfect mathematics. The dream is just in the middle. Yes.
So where do the Mayans fit in? And far as this whole calendar thing, is it just...
The Mayans? The Mayans were a little bit later of the Olmecs. The Nahuatl lineage comes from the Olmecs. And they were developing themselves, but then they joined in the last period with the Toltecs. For example, in Chichen Itza, it was a complete mix of Mayans and Toltecs. So what we got from the Aztecs and from the later Mayans, that is the calendars that we got now, are of the fusion of Mayans with Toltecs that happened in the late period of the Mayans.
Okay, so you study with your teacher. Tell me about your teachers.
My teachers. Okay, I'm originally Catholic.
You're originally Catholic.
I was never, but my family.
Your family's Catholic. My family's Catholic. Then you knew this couldn't be the whole truth.
No. The problem, the advantage is that my mother worked, so I was really raised by my nanny that worked there. And she was the daughter of the main Otomi healer of a community, indigenous community. So I was like the son that she didn't have, she couldn't have. So she really raised me. So I didn't live like a normal life when I was very, very little, because instead of giving me medicines, she was using like the tobacco smoking and then blowing out the pain and all those things. Mm-hmm. Then I saw like the ex cleansing. The first time that I heard about dreams was from her, because she told me when she was passing the egg that this is so that your bad dreams don't get truth in your reality, because dreams create this reality.
So they roll the egg over your body.
But in the energy.
But they use an actual egg.
Yeah, an actual egg, and then they broke it in a glass of water, and then they began like reading.
The
egg yolk and the egg white.
And she could tell you.
I learned that.
You learned that practice too.
Yeah, I love that.
You do?
I'd like to
learn that too.
I love those things.
Oh, could you teach that too?
I have never taught the egg.
I'd love to see that.
But it's amazing. So it's like that, and then you put it in water, and then you begin seeing like the. Yeah, the forms, the shapes, the letters, and
letters actually.
So yeah, sometimes they tell you.
You
will
tell someone's future or
or past or something like that.
So you started training in that when you were really young.
I never know that it was like kind of training. I was just exposed.
Okay.
But it was really a training, mm-hmm. because then I was learning all these kind of things. And then I began like being fascinating for that kind of wisdom. But I never thought that I was going to do this in life.
Mm. Right. But you know, it's interesting, these two traditions you were exposed to. The Christian, the Catholic, where you're there to just listen to what someone tell you what to do, and the native tradition is where you actually are actively involved. And so did you see those two polarities between
of
the
course
two?
And it was like my mother and my nanny. My mother was so strict and so rigid representing the Catholic part. I'm not saying anything against, but it was like that. And my nanny was like so lovely,
so loving, so in touch.
So they were completely represent those two paths in which I grew.
And so you had a choice to go, in a sense, at some point.
Of course.
You wanted to go to the path where you're told what to do, or the path where you can actually participate in the universe.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Yeah. No, it was like that.
So you...
And I chose the other one.
Your mother didn't like that, did she?
At the beginning, no. Now she respected it a lot, but they wanted me to study economy or something like that, and to be in the stock market and all the things. And I said not.
But tell me then, so you had this teacher, it was your nanny, and then tell me of this, how
and
you evolved.
And then I began like looking for teachers in Mexico. So in the main plaza of Mexico City, the Zócalo, that is where the pyramids were, that they destroyed, and now they put the cathedral and all the things.
The
Aztec mayor temple.
Oh, the Aztec had a temple there, and that's, they destroyed that and built
the big cathedral
in Mexico.
Yeah, but there are certain pyramids that survived that were like down. But
okay,
so there are a lot of groups that are dancers. That if you see, they are drumming and with feathers and
sacred
all those things.
Dances.
Yeah. And I have to learn, because I try to get involved in those groups and all those things. And the groups that are in the day, dancing in the day, they are only for tourists. I didn't know that in the beginning. They are asking for money and all those things. They are not real keepers. But if you find the groups that are dancing at night, they don't want money and all the things. They are keepers of traditions there. So I try to be involved and all those things. And then... I began also in doing energy and work and all those things. But in the first things that you get involved, it's like in sweating lodges, the dance, the ceremonies, a little bit of Nahuatl, all these things. But after some time, I found like my main teachers.
And who are they?
One is named Hugo Nahui.
Nahui.
Hugo Nahui means four in Nahuatl, But four is like, for us, is the main pattern in the universe that repeats the four phases of the moon, four moments of the day, main moments of the day, two solstices, two equinoxes, to complete
so
the cycle.
So four is a special number for this, yeah, for the Nahual.
Yeah, that's why Hugo put himself Hugo Nahui, like Hugo Four.
And what did he teach you?
A lot of things, because
like
he's very kind of sophisticated mind. But the main things that he began teaching me was how the moon affected ourselves. That was like the ancient Mexica astrology, and then dreaming. He was my first teacher about dreaming.
Your first teacher about dreaming. Let's go through your teachers, and let's get back to the dreaming, because I think that's what I'm interested in.
Okay.
Working in the dream state. So you found this one teacher, and who were your other teachers?
And then he introduced me to who I consider my main teacher, that is named Xolotl.
Xolotl?
Xolotl belonged to a lineage of dreamers that is, he is also in the other path, dream, dancing, and sweating lodges and all those things, but he belonged to a lineage that is named Tol.
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 Part of the Toltec.
Yeah, well, it comes. It's even before history. Tol is a measure.
Uh-huh.
That it has been a lineage that has been passed from 1,465 years from master to student.
Mm-hmm. And you're part of that student.
Yeah, I am his student.
Did you had another teacher though?
Then I had other one. I have had many, but
yeah.
For example, Charlotte's wife. She taught me some things. Alma.
And what did she
taught
teach
me? She teach the healing through the water, and how to put the energy of the sun in the water and begin reading the water and all those things.
Really?
Like the chakmola and all those things. The healing with obsidian.
Mm.
Then I had other one that passed away about the mirror. And then I have other Xochicuautli that she showed me the relationship between the Pleiades and the dreaming, and how to open centers in the back. Because if you want to be a lucid dreamer, for example, there are energetic centers that see the front that are for the tonal. But if you want, you must open the centers of the Nahual that are in the back.
Uh-huh.
So she taught me that.
How do you do that? I know it's all
there
practice.
There is like an initiation that you call the energy of the Pleiades to a mountain, then the earth, and then it passes to the hand, and you begin opening that we call the caves of power, that are 20 that are in the back.
And you've done this?
Yeah.
And did that change your dreaming when that happened?
Yeah, I began being much more aware, and I will be able to shapeshift much more.
Shapeshift? So what does that mean?
No, in the
dream.
Dream, not in the...
Not in life, reality,
yeah.
This dream.
Yeah, not in this dream.
So you open the caves of the back?
But she began like to the... She was part of the feminine teachings. So I have like mixed what Hugo told me with what Charlotte told me with what Xochicuautli told me to make like a complete, at least for me, approach to the tradition.
You brought all these traditions together.
Yeah.
I mean, you took all these different parts that seem to be separate, and you're showing how they're sort of really part of
one
real ancient tradition about dreaming.
About dreaming in Mexico.
This is such valuable information, and that it's amazing it still survived.
I don't know how, because it was so chased.
So it was chased. I mean, like repressed.
You were killed.
You were killed.
When the Spanish were there. But then after that, the indigenous thing was so in Mexico seen like low, like.
For example, like low class.
And all. For example, it's incredible what happened in the country, but Nahual, it was like the wise guy of the ancient times, and now it's an insult. You can't shout someone in the street.
You can't call someone a Nahual?
Nahual.
Why?
And it will be like an insult.
Why? What does it mean?
Like they are low.
Oh, like low class.
Low class. Ah. It's incredible. It's like if you go to the Tibet and you say someone Lama, and it's an insult. It's sad.
Oh,
it's
sad. Yeah.
500 years ago, that was so degenerated in what it wasn't, and it's just coming out in Mexico, because a lot of people think I was asking some Charlottes once, why was this not shared before?
Yes.
And he said, because no one was interested. No, it was not that it was a secret thing and all those things. In the past years, in the past century at least, no one was really interested in the indigenous wisdom.
It wasn't secret. No one wanted to know it. But now people want
now,
to
know. Yeah, but it was there also the prophecy of the last ruler, Cuauhtémoc of the Aztec Empire. He gave like a beautiful speech one day before the Tenochtitlan fell down to the Spanish, and he said, our sun has hidden in the darkness, but keep our treasure because it's going to come back with the sixth sun. And now it's the sixth sun. So now, and the Spanish thought that the treasure was gold, and they tortured him to get where the gold was.
But now, is the sixth sun now because of the December 21st date?
It has to be something like 2012, but for us, the suns are periods of 6,625 years that are based in the Aztec calendar. If you see the outer ring, it's two serpents that represent the long count. The long count is 24,500 years. That is more or less the precession of the equinoxes. You see the serpents down, they have like the head and like feathers, and they have like seven balls in the feathers.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And those are the Pleiades. So for the tradition, the sun is giving a spin around the Pleiades that lasts 26,500 years.
That's interesting.
And like I told you, the main number for us was the four. So we split the long count in four. And that's in the calendar. If you can see the calendar, you can see the outer snakes with the face of a human, that is Quetzalcoatl, the rising serpent, and with seven balls. And there is a big ball that is the sun.
The sun. And the face in the middle with the tongue sticking out is who?
It's the fifth sun. That's in the middle. But I'm talking the ones that are in the outer, The face in the middle for us, everything was based in four, that you need four movements to create something.
Right.
So, for example, four suns before, and the face and the sun would be the Tonatiuh that has the tongue out, but it's like the Tecpatl, the knife of justice through the world.
So when did it change into this next sun? When was that shift?
It's a little bit different than the Mayan count.
Yeah, tell me.
For us, the eclipses are like the
doorways.
The doorways. Because if you see, the moon is like the Nahual, the sun is like the Tonal, and when they're aligned, it's like the solar system is having a lucid dream. So you can change the reality. So for us, the change is not like one day is the fifth sun and the sixth sun is the next one.
Uh-huh.
It's like in nature. That it can be the night. Yeah, it's at a 29 periods of transition. So are we still in this transition? Yeah, for us it started, the sixth sun began entering in the kingdom of the fifth, in a full eclipse of sun eclipse that happened in Mexico in July of 1991.
Ah.
Then they get to the same like power in 2012.
They did. So 2012 was an important time.
Yeah,
it's December 21st.
Yeah, they went to the same power, and now slowly the fifth sun is going out to allow the sixth sun to rule by himself. And this transition will finish in other eclipses that will happen in 2021.
Oh, so the real beginning then of this new time. I mean, it's happening now, but...
But it's now, because also the sixth sun now has more power than the fifth for us.
And the sixth sun is more of a time of spirituality.
Not exactly spirituality. For us, everything is based in Tonal Nahual, like I told you. So, and the suns alternate themselves. So there is one sun of light. Light means Tonal. Mm-hmm. And one son of darkness, that is means the Nahual. Mm-hmm. So the fifth son was a son of light, a son of the Tonal.
Uh-huh.
And in the Tonal, how is the perception? Everything is outside. So God is outside. The sons of light are very good to create religions. Medicine is outside.
Mm-hmm.
Satisfaction is outside. All these things. And the Nahual sons are sons of darkness, when you close the eyes, so you must go to the inside.
Oh.
So that's why a lot of the medicine formulas are falling down, the religions, the economics, because everything goes to the inside again.
So it's an internal experience. So what will the culture look like then in the sixth son?
God goes again, but it will be a long period of transition because I'm talking about thousands of years.
What will happen, you think?
If you see, we are very lucky because we have seen like the change, alive.
Yeah.
And we can compare. If you remember how life was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, people get really satisfaction in the religious answers that were outside, in having just a family, success.
Yes,
and now people that have all these things is not anymore satisfied. They need to conquest themselves, the inside, the economic formulas, the medicine is not so effective anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is looking for something different.
Mm-hmm. So this is really an amazing time because we are in the time of the fifth son into the sixth son, we're seeing the light.
And we can compare.
And the sons last for, you say, 6,000 years?
6,600 something.
So the people then in the future won't understand where.
How is a son of light? Because they wouldn't have lived it.
But there is an evolution of a history to this. So there's a lineage. So maybe there will be some
keepers.
But it will be a completely different world, won't it?
I think so. All these things about 2012 that the world was finishing were based in the Nahuatl prophecy and Mayan prophecy that said the fifth son will finish with earthquakes, there will be a lot of suffering, and everyone will die.
But it didn't happen.
No, it happened. But you should know how to speak Nahuatl because a lot of Westerners went there, got that information, and then they translated to a modern uh-huh. way of seeing. For us, death is change.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, it is said in the tradition that we have six deaths when we are alive. For example, conception is a death because you stop being dead to become alive again.
Uh-huh.
Birth is other death because you stop being in the womb to go out. Mm-hmm. So puberty is other death because you stop being a child to become a young man.
Puberty.
Yes, oh, sorry. Or so all those things are death. So what it was meant is that this sun was going to finish with earthquakes. Earthquakes is also physically.
Uh-huh.
And also that all the structures of the other sun are shaking.
I see.
And if you see in the center of that you say of the Aztec calendar, there are like the four squares that are the suns, and there are like eagle claws in the middle.
Yes.
That means that between one sun and the other, the destruction of the old order happens to give up space to the new order.
Right.
So that is what is happening. That's why everything is like kind of shaking and changing.
So what is the date of this next eclipse in 2021?
I don't remember now.
It's a major eclipse. And so we're moving towards that because it's all happening.
But it's now happening. Now the sixth sun is more important than the fifth.
I see. So let's talk about dreaming and the practices and maybe even show some or talk about actually how to do a dreaming practice. The whole idea of a dreaming practice is to become lucid in the dream, to be.
No.
That's not the practice. That's not the idea.
Okay, yeah.
No, tell me.
No. Okay. It's not only become lucid, because there are a lot of, like I told you, I was in this conference about in London. It was really nice in the Royal Geographical Society that they chose like that people that were representing different dreaming traditions in the world, from psychiatrists to yoga of the dreams and all those things. Almost everyone said that you should become lucid, feel and allow the dream happen. For us, it's not like that.
For the Nahuals.
Nahualism, you try to control the dream.
Control.
For example, we have like these codexes that if you go down in the dream, if you are falling down, jumping in the water, whatever, going down in the stairs, you are going down to the underworlds.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are lucid there and you see that you are going down, you stop that because you know that going to the underworlds would be the go to the worst part of your unconscious. So that you will create that in your awake. So we stop that and we say, no, not down, up, or whatever. We are controlling the dream.
You're controlling the dream
yeah.
by doing some of those practices. practices.
That, yeah, but and for example, we do something that is named planting dreams.
Ah.
Planting dreams are certain like breathing techniques, like the one that I show you with the chakmol, that we do before going to sleep, and we plant four dreams in how we would like to appear in the dream. So when you are falling asleep, you are repeating like, I'm a warrior of the dreams, I will be conscious while dreaming, and I will find the dreams that I planted. So instead of just entering in like in an unconscious dream, when you fall asleep, you are trying to find the dreams that you planted.
So you imagine a dream you want to have. I want to have a dream of flying.
Or
more specific,
but it's
tell
not,
me how you plant a dream.
For example, we have like in a basic level, we use animals like nahuales. Like I said, if you want healing, you get the serpent. If you want love or to heal a depression or something like that, you use the hummingbird. If you want money, you use the crocodile. If you want like a psychological or underworld pattern of your ancestors healing, you use the jaguar that he goes to the underworlds. If you want something to die, not someone, but if, for example, if you have a tumor and you want that tumor to die, you use the black butterfly. So you are planting like with different archetypes.
How many different types are there?
There are many, but animals are... there's like the, if you want a prophetic dream, you can use also the hummingbird and the deer.
Is there a book of all these archetypes?
I took it from the oral tradition. I'm doing one.
Are you doing a book now on these?
I'm dreaming of these
archetypes.
I haven't read nothing like this written.
So you're the first to write this. And so it's not just dreaming about the archetypes, it's being the archetype in the dream.
Being the archetype is you.
Ah.
When your Nahual represents the archetype, so it creates the tonal. We have had many testimonies of people that, for example, is sick in the night, and they found the dreaming of their healing, and they wake up completely healed.
Wow. So what's happened to you?
I have never been sick physically, but for example, I have done a lot of things. We have a place that is named Chikawamiktlakayan, that it means the place of the strength in the dream, where you go and you repair your Nahual, and four jaguars come and lick you, and then they repair completely your Nahual. For example, that is for recovering strength and all those things. And then also, if you recover the strength, you recover a lot of, you have like certain periods of rejuvenation. So in that time I had like some gray hair, and after having that dream, they colored again.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that dream again?
You want to color your hair.
No, but you dream, but tell it to me again, because I...
Chica, because for us, there are many different rooms of dreaming. In the map of the world of dreams. The common dreams happen in what we call the Mictlan, the place of the death. So when you dream about your past, people that you knew, certain things that you do, that psychology would call projections, you are in the Mictlan, in the world of the death. Because for us, our past is death. So you are there. And almost all the people is always there, because it's the first room.
And it's only the first room.
It's only the first room. Because if you know that there are other rooms, you can begin ordering your Nahual to go to the other rooms.
How many other rooms are there?
Many.
Because it's interesting. I remember, I have psychological dreams, but then I dream of different people. There was a woman who I knew very well who died. She came to the dream.
That would be in the Mictlan, because you in the Mictlan you can go to your past or these things, or you can go to the land of the ancestors, and people that has passed away can meet you there.
And she told me something. She was with a little child I couldn't see, but it felt like a different type of dream.
So there you are in different rooms.
So how many different rooms are there?
I don't know, but it's the I haven't counted,
no, but
it's the Machtokun Manachkan, that means the plant, the place where you plant dreams. There is the Kochitsinko. Kochitsinko means Kochi is sleeping, but it's a place where there are no dreams, that you only enter like in a darkness and there are no dreams. And it is It's like a paradox, but becoming a master of dreams is not have is when you are
to
able
not have to, a dream.
To not have a dream.
Oh.
Then there is other, the Chicahuamic Lion, where you repair your Nahual. Like I told you, there is other, that is the Tlatlauhqui Temictli, that is the place of the red dreams.
The red dreams.
When you enter in a place where all the dreams happen like in red, and you begin seeing red and red, that takes you, because when you are in the womb, all the light that entered through the skin of your mother was red.
Because of the blood, yeah.
Yeah, and the blood also. And you were dreaming of yourself. So if you're able to enter in a place where all the dreams are red, you are able to regenerate your body.
Wow, and then have the jaguars lick you.
That's other place. That's other place.
But so you enter into that red field and then you regenerate. Interesting.
It's amazing. The
and
power
what
of
else?
Dreaming.
This is fascinating. I know I've never heard this, but it somehow it makes sense to me that what you're saying. What else?
There is other, like the place where the Nahual and the Tonal separate. Mm-hmm. And that the Nahual can see the Tonal sleeping. Other things like I experience out of the body.
Uh-huh.
But that's for us is other place of dreaming.
It's another house of dreaming. Is this in your new book?
All these things will come.
And
in
this is called, the new book is called?
Will be called the Nahualism, the Power of Dreaming.
Wow, beautiful. So to get aware or to be, you know, most people go to sleep, they don't remember anything and boom, you know, they wasted all that information that the universe is giving them. So how can we use this then? These different, how can we practice a simple technique?
Okay, yeah, like I told you, but to try to be a dreamer, it starts not dreaming. It's like in the mirror to force your perception to see you
okay,
there.
That's
that
one,
would be the only
the way to start.
That the Tonal cannot sleep and just allow the Nahual to see and you lose consciousness. You must force yourself to appear in the dream, so someone must be watching. So your Tonal must be watching. Then we do all these practices like, but for example, to do the chakmol, you must be trained in the obsidian mirror before, because you must be able to change your face in the mirror.
You change your face, so you're awake, of course. And
of course, yeah.
And your Nahual is pushing your Tonal to shift its awareness.
Yeah, because if you begin breathing and then you're able to change your image in the mirror, you are in a half state of perception. You are like what we call ensoñación, dreaming while awake. So when you see that, and then you fall, you go out from your body to the dreaming state in that shape, you put, for example, the correct language of elements in the, for example, for us, horizontal or flat waters are like emotional problems, but if you see rain in the dreams, it's good. So for example, if you want the purification of a sickness, you will put your snake with rain.
And that's a purification.
Yeah, or we have a specific language of dreaming of the four elements.
Oh, the four elements. So if you dream of Earth,
for example, for us, the dream of the Earth are us, because we are like
Earth.
Of the spirit of Tonans in the Mother Earth, mm-hmm. the humans are her favorite children. Mm-hmm. So every time that we are dreaming about violence, that we fight and all those things, we cancel those dreams, because that's not fighting it really with the person. It would be fighting with the spirit of the Earth.
Uh-huh.
For example, every time that we see flat waters in the dream, we cancel that. Every time that we see clouds and all those things, that would be against the spirit of the wind, because the wind, his dream is to come and to take everything clean.
Ah.
So it's a very specific way of speaking like that in the dreaming language.
So in the workshops you teach, the first practice is to do the mirror practice.
There are many different, because I teach a lot of things.
What else do you teach?
For example, what I taught here Sunday, it was the toli, really what the Toltec means. So to adjust to the measure of the cosmos through your breathings so that you can have a healing. Mm-hmm. So that's
tell me about that. How do you do that?
For example, for us, the 13, like I told you, is the number of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
That because the rotation of the sun is
26
days. 8 is the number of Venus and the moon. It is based in the mathematic, because if you see in the Aztec calendar, there are like the symbol of five balls all over, like five of the ones that you roll. And then that is the mathematic of Venus and the moon, because each cycle of Venus is 590 days. So if you add five, that is 2,950 days. And if you split that in our year, that is that gives you the number eight. That's why, for the tradition, we are supposed to sleep 8 hours, and we have eight dreams each night.
We have eight dreams each night.
Yeah, so for us, how we do this technique is that you breathe in 13, you're healing, you're changed with the sun, and you breathe out in 8, all the destructive forces of your cave.
And so you count to 13, and you breathe in, counting to 13, and you breathe out, counting to 8.
8, yeah.
Yes.
And then we do that 13 times, and you have one movement.
One type of, what kind of movement?
For us, like I told you, everything is based in four movement, but that would be one movement from 1 to 13, that is the measure of the sun, of change. So, and then, like I said, in the Toltec tradition, an original one, everything is mathematics. So you know that first is named Se, or that comes from Senteotl. So in the first movement, you put like the intention that what needs to be healed and what needs to be transformed. Then you do other movement.
What do you say movement? Do you actually mean physical movement?
No, movement would be the movement of the energy. But that would be, the movement are a group of 13 breathings. Then you do a next movement that would be other 13 breathings. And that would be take you to two. Two is, comes from Ome, that is two in Nahuatl, that is Omitl, bones. So in the second movement, we ask the energy of the universe to come down like a serpent, because the energy moves like that, cleansing from our bones, the history of our ancestors, the repetitive patterns.
Wow.
Then we do a third movement, that J is three in Nahuatl, that comes from Jestli, the blood. So in that movement, we ask the energy of the earth to come and enter through our feet, to that our blood becomes a serpent, the serpent of healing. And then you begin going with the serpent of healing to all the organs and to digest. That's reawakening the power of the blood, the healing from the inside. That would be very important in the sixth sun. And then we do a last movement that will take you to 52. 52 for us is the sacred number, because of the Pleiades and Orion. The Pleiades and Orion, that's very important, they repeat the same position every 52 years.
Oh.
And that's when in Mexico it takes part the ceremony of the new fire. And the fire rules the dream. So when you are in 52, you plant a dream.
So after these 52 breaths, you plant a dream.
Yeah, we can do that, but I don't know.
We could do a little bit. Let's do it. Let's
of
do
course.
It. Yeah, go ahead. What do we do?
Okay, let's close the eyes for everyone.
Yeah.
You are going to breathe in, counting 13, the power of change of the sun, and breathe out in 8, all the destructive forces of your Nahual. Like in like all the ones that are seeing us, they can count in a different rhythm.
Yeah.
I will be doing the count. So every time that I say 13, you breathe in, and that I say 8, you breathe out.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, close your eyes. Take a deep breath. When you breathe out, take out all the heavy energy. Say all in first movement. Remember, you are going to breathe in 13, the power of change of the sun, and breathe out in 8, the destructive forces of your Nahual. 13. 8. See yourself walking from your left to your right. Find an object that for you has a meaning. Take that object and give the object a meaning. Could be your healing, your new work, your the couple you want, whatever, to become a lucid dreamer. And command your Nahual to go to the Mahtokwen Manahkan, the place where you plant dreams, and to find this dream. And in the next days you are going to dream it. And when you dream it, it will become to your tonal, because the Nahual creates the tonal. Now adjust your toli, your measure, to the sacred numbers 8, 13, and 52, beginning the transition, the change, the healing of your body, your dream, or your relationships, everything. Ometeotl.
When you said 13, do you want us to breathe in 13?
Counting. I'm counting very quick because now we are in
That's okay. So we count in, we breathe in one breath, count to 13, breathe out,
in
count
eight.
To 8. And we can do this on our own now.
Yeah, at least to have results, you should do this 52 days in a row to adjust you to the toli. You see, everything is in measures of the cosmos. So we plan our exercise in numbers.
I do this 52 days in a row, and each time at the end of the fourth, I plant a dream. The same dream or a different dream?
If you want this to happen, the same dream.
The same
until
dream.
Until it happens.
Okay.
But that's when we good. Know all these things, we know we have many codexes, different dreams. But for start, it's a very good one.
That's thank you so much for sharing that. That's simple and powerful, and combines intention and the body and our connection to the universe.
Yeah, the toli, the measure.
So we breathe in one breath, count to 13, breathe out,
in
count
eight.
To 8. And we can do this on our own now.
Yeah, at least to have results, you should do this 52 days in a row to adjust you to the toli. You see, everything is in measures of the cosmos. So we plan our exercise in numbers.
I do this 52 days in a row, and each time at the end of the fourth, I plant a dream. The same dream or a different dream?
If you want this to happen, the same dream.
The same
until
dream.
Until it happens.
Okay.
But that's when we good. Know all these things, we know we have many codexes, different dreams. But for start, it's a very good one.
That's thank you so much for sharing that. That's simple and powerful, and combines intention and the body and our connection to the universe.
Yeah, the toli, the measure.
So, what did the Toltecs, the Nahuals, feel the whole purpose of this life and this dream reality is for?
Learn to die. The dreaming practice is because dreaming is dying. So the main purpose is to learn how to die.
Why were we ever born?
Because we were experiencing. Because there are three ways how you can die. From the liver, you will will be in reincarnation, and you are giving all the circle of the glyphs of the calendar. If you are born, for example, I am now a lizard, mm-hmm. and I don't flower like it's like enlightenment for the ancient tradition, I will be born the next life in serpent, that is the next one, mm-hmm. and like that.
How do you know you're a lizard?
Because in the measures of the calendar. It's similar to the Mayan. So in the glyph that you are, this life, if you don't flower, you must leave the next glyph, and then the next glyph, and like that, until you break the circle. You can break it exiting while dying from the chest, and you go
the
to
heart.
The chest.
Chest.
Yeah, it could be like
and then
that.
You go where?
To the sun, until you can melt into the light. Or if you exit through the crown, you would choose to be independent for all your life.
Independent.
Independent to be like an
a sovereign being.
Yeah.
You know, in the Castaneda tradition, he talks about Don Juan saying he burned from a fire from within, that he didn't die, that the body became light, fire essence.
Well, I don't have that in the...
That's not in your tradition.
No. That this is for learning how to die, because the Mictli now is dream and is the one that died. So for us, like, dreaming is like a death.
Mm. Dreaming. So how did you know you were a lizard in this life? How did you know that was your sign?
Because we have the table, the papers that compare these our dates with the Aztec dates, and then you get
astrologically. Yeah, you're
astrologically,
saying?
Like it's named Tonalamatl. That is your study of who you are awake and who you are sleeping. It's very interesting because it's like the kind only astrology that gives you who you are in the Tonal and who you are in the Nahual.
Oh, you have two different charts.
No, it's the same one, but it gives you who you are, how your Nahual behaves and how your Tonal behaves, your challenges and your advantages.
So most astrology just gives you how your Tonal,
your daytime
personality, and there's a whole other side. Oh, that's interesting. This what we just talked about today and tasted is really the science of these ancient traditions. They understood consciousness, they understood their relationship to the heaven, they understood
and the cosmos,
and how to work with their body and how to work with their mind. It's a complete system. It's beautiful. Thank you
very much.
How can people get in touch with you?
My website is sergiomagana.com, or my Facebook, Sergio Magana Ocelocoyotl, that is my Nahuatl name.
How do you spell that?
Sergio Magana.
Magana, I'll spell it out. Yeah.
And then Ocelocoyotl, that's my Facebook.
Ocelocoyotl.
Ocelocoyotl, that means coyote jaguar in Nahuatl.
Coto jaguar?
Yeah.
That's coto snake?
Coyote. Coyote.
Coyote.
Coyote.
Coyote jaguar.
Jaguar, yeah. That's
coyote
my,
jaguar.
Yeah, that's my...
And someone gave you that name, right?
Yeah, you cannot name however you want. From the calendar, you get 8 influences, and then you choose 2 to get a name. Wow. And then I had my sewing of name by Charlotte, my teacher.
Mm-hmm. It's so amazing, this knowledge that you are reviving, because I think it can help people integrate in this new time of the sixth sun.
Yeah, yeah. I hope a lot of people look in the ancient wisdom, because a lot of answers are there.
Yeah, beautiful. This is really, you feel the change, don't you? When in your sleep or your...
Yeah, in my sleep and in my awake and everywhere.
What do you notice?
Well, you are completely different. You are less destructive. You are...
The whole planet.
Yeah, yeah. No. Now, in the whole planet, I see. If you train yourself, you will get the advantages. But now I think that everything is accelerated. Mm. Like the tradition says, in these 9 years, everyone will face or their personal cataclysms or their change. Because everything is speeding
up
to
meet the sixth sun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Let's do some more shows.
Of course.
We'll
do
some radio too, and we'll... This is very interesting. I just want to know everything you know. No, I do, because it's... I don't know. I'm just drawn to it. I think it feels true.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
It's true. It's my life.
No, it works. And what you talk about, the complexity of dreams is so important to us to understand, because we just say it's dream, but what you're saying is it's a whole cosmology of the dreaming universe.
Yeah, it's like having a map for the awake and for the sleeping.
It's a map.
Guide.
It's a map, and the teachings of these great masters that came before are here to serve all humanity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not just the Toltecs.
No. Toltecs.
For everybody.
Like Hugo's, my teacher says, to accept that you are a Mexica is not a part, it's not a place. It's that you accept the importance of the moon and the dreaming in your life.
Mexica means what?
The place of the navel of the moon. But he says, if you become a Mexica, it's not that you are Mexican. If that you are for an area, it has a bigger meaning. Mm-hmm. Is that you accept the effect of the moon and the effect of the dreams of your life, and that you're doing something with that. So it's not for the Mexicans, it's for the world.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you to you, Alan.
This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. I've been talking to Sergio Magana about the ancient Nahual Toltec knowledge and how we're here to work with these great tradition that is a legacy for all of humanity. You can reach me at newrealities.com. You can email me at newrealities.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
Was that good?
Yeah, very good.
We went deep.